Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Rohde should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Rohde may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Rohde, 10 to 2 on 670.
Joe Flacco bringing the Bengals back from the dead. Improbable.
Wait, I don't get it.
Yeah,
He mixed improbable and incredible.
What did he say? Improbable?
Incredible.
Incredible.
Every time I hear it, I get closer to hearing it the way he said it.
Laurel. Laurel.
It's incredible. Huh?
Yeah, at first I was like, he's just saying incredible. What's the big deal? A lot of texters are saying that they thought Spiridita said improbable.
Oh, really? Do we need to go back to the lab and listen to it?
Improbable!
Now, that time it does sound like improbable.
I heard a C.
I heard...
No, I think it's P-popped, and that's why it's kind of indistinct. It's
yeah.
Like improbable.
Yeah.
312, he did not, capital letters, not combine incredible and improbable. He simply said improbable.
I kind of hear the C. I've heard it enough times at this point that Robbie has convinced me that
it's
there
probable.
Is a C.
He said probable.
Yeah, no.
Improbable!
Yeah.
Oh, that one I did hear, Pete. Oh, now I'm torn.
Are you leaving the island?
See?
No, I'm still on the island.
Better not. You're the one that brought me to the island, Robbie.
No,
better
I'm
not
on
leave.
This island. We're on the island. Wilson!
Wilson! Wilson! Wilson! I'm sorry!
Wilson. I hate that stupid volleyball.
Improbable!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It reminds me of when my brother created the word, why cuz? Why cuz do we start the show with improbable? Why cuz we have to do it? It was why, it was because, and it combined. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Why cuz we have to talk about Shota Imanaga? Because his very complicated contract actually came into play. We now know that the option has been exercised, and Shota Imanaga's status with the Cubs will now require more money if he wants to come back. So as we try to examine what that means, as he is now a free agent, this is big news, not just because it happened this morning, but also because, once again, you're asking the question, well, who is going to be the Cubs ace? Who is it? Are they adding? Are they subtracting? I certainly hope that if they're going to do this, they better have a plan, and the plan had better be an upgrade.
I think they have a plan. I think the plan is definitely to upgrade. And when I say upgrade, I'm talking about velocity specifically. I think that's where you will see a difference in whoever they bring in. And I think they could bring in a couple of pitchers, honestly. Dylan Cease appears to be the target. Like, that's the wish list. Dylan Cease also is going to get paid a lot of money. So my fear is they pay a whole bunch of money for Dylan Cease, and then they cry poor when it comes time to upgrade the offense.
So the shortest version I can get to of how this worked was the team rejected the option to his contract to get extended a fifth year. That triggered his ability, Shota's, to exercise a $15 million player option for 2026, and he declined that as well. So that's how we got here. And when Jed Hoyer, I think, alluded to this back at the end of season press conference, that's when I was like, oh, this could be a thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And It's an interesting projection on the part of the Cubs. What they are doing and what they are, what I think they are projecting, is what we saw from Shota this past year, moreover in the postseason, is closer to reality in the Cubs' minds than the good games that he had, the good moments that he had. And I'm just talking about last year, because on the whole, Shota Imanaga has been a good Cub. He's been a good Cub in terms of what he did, you know, as a rookie especially, and the revelation that he was and the 2.91 ERA that he had. And I like it. I love Shota. Again, he was a good player, good Cub. You got some of your money out of him. But I like that the Cubs are being somewhat shrewd and not just saying, let's see if we can fix him. Let's get another year out of this guy, another year or two. Let's cut it while we still can and while there is still some value for the sake of Imanaga.
I think specifically the idea that they would extend him for 3 years and $57 million, I don't think anyone here or anywhere thinks, based on what they saw last year, that would have been a good idea.
Well, and that's it. That's the hard part about how he lived dangerously based on his pitching profile. You know, we mentioned this with Molly and Hahn transition, but you're talking about a guy who is a lefty who threw belt high about 91, 92, 93 on a good day. And when there was the slightest bit of velocity drop, even though he could tunnel really well with that splitter for him, it was enough for hitters to adjust. And that's exactly what we saw. Your red flag was not just the home runs that he started giving up in the second half of the season. And unlike Jameson Taillon, where J-Mo made adjustments to get back to lowering that number, we didn't see the same kind of consistent response out of Shota Imanaga. Add to that the fact that the first inning was a real issue for him, especially in the playoffs and how they had to manage that. And it makes sense as to why the Cubs said this is something that doesn't necessarily work for us at a certain price. I think you build those clauses into the contracts for a reason. So I think they had to have known this was a possibility. My only question is, therefore becoming, though, once you make this decision, what do you think is better? Who do you think is better? And you mentioned Dylan Cease. I think that's a very valid one, because we were trying to figure out if he was going to get traded this year. You know, the other part of this is the conversations have increased unbelievably or improbably or perhaps improbably regarding Tarek Skubal.
You know? Improbable!
And that's something where I think, you know, the conversations have gotten bigger and louder again, that reported by The Athletic last week. So if all of these other options are on the table where you could get someone better, then I think you have to at least try. Like, you knew there were going to be some tough decisions that had to be made for a team that isn't the Dodgers and the Mets budget-wise, and this is one of them.
I just look at guys around the league, whether it's Ranger Suarez, Valdez, Skubal, Bieber. There are guys who have track records, who have been big game pitchers, that you can now go get because you freed up this money. And even if you give him the qualifying offer, I don't know if that's even smart to do, because what if he ends up signing the qualifying offer? That's $22 million that you can't spend elsewhere. But if you do that and you get something back as he signs with someone else, that's a story right there. There's Michael King. There's so many others.
Framber Valdez.
Yeah, he mentioned him.
Yeah. Valdez.
He's my number one, by the way.
Valdez?
Framber. Yeah.
Okay.
I love Framber Valdez.
He's got playoff experience.
Yeah, that's it for me.
I like Cease, too. I mean, I wouldn't be upset if the Cubs were able to bring on Cease. But if you ask me, Framber Valdez would be the number one guy. You know, you look at the Cubs, too. Like, part of what makes this possible for the Cubs, too, like, whether they're upgrading or not, is the fact that Cade Horton has risen. That Cade Horton is now, I think, pretty close. It's going to be interesting to see who the opening day starter is next year, because Justin Steele is coming back. We know how good he is. Matt Boyd is back. We know how good he is. Jameson Taillon is what he is. We know that about him as well. My point is, that's a pretty strong top four to begin with. And then, is Colin Ray still under contract? Because I know you love Colin Ray.
I think Colin Ray is not.
Yeah, I think
Well, we'll count him out then.
I think Now, let me look.
You have to fill the fifth starter spot, which isn't always like a top gun guy, but you can afford to go out and get that. So, in other words,
Cubs could be building a really, really good pitching staff because it's pretty solid even before whomever we think they might add.
Colin Wright was a one-year deal.
Yeah, two things here, Mark. One, Cade Horton is absolutely your opening day starter, mainly because I don't even think Justin Steele will be ready opening day. He won't be at full strength.
What if he was, though? That's the more interesting question.
Yeah, the question is it a 12-month or a 14-month recovery for Steele? Wasn't that the discussion?
Well, even if it's a 12-month, he still wouldn't be ready for opening day.
I can see him not being ready for opening, but like, you know, maybe in May or whatever.
So Cade Horton's he's your ace. He's your guy.
Okay.
And that's even if you go out and get somebody. Well, I guess it depends on who you go get. But yeah. But that's the way I'm looking at it. Colin Wray is a swing man. He's fine. That's not how you get through the brutal one. He's a part of how you get through 162. He's not a guy that's starting in a playoff series for you in ideal circumstances.
Correct.
Unless one of your so-called aces is getting blown up every time he goes out there and pitches the first inning of a game.
It's a club option. And yeah, that was my red flag. When you had to remix the starting rotation for the playoffs as much as you did, then that is an indication that, hey, this is not going to get the job done. And ultimately it didn't. And Matthew Boyd starting on 3 days rest is still an issue for me. But you've got to find somebody who can go out, can go out there besides one pitcher and say we can rely on him. Jameson Taillon became that guy. We know Colin Wray was hurt. Here's a couple of the other names. I've got the list in front of me right now. So MLB is reporting it's a club option for Colin Wray, who, might I remind you, is also 35. So Chris Sale's on that list. He's 37. So there's that. Dylan Cease, Framber Valdez, Ranger Suarez, Jack Flaherty can opt out. So there's a qualifier there. Nick Martinez, Chris Bassett, Michael King, as you've mentioned. Zach Gallen also on that list. Mm. You know, do you take the risk on Gallen knowing the year,
right,
that he had? Merrill Kelly's 37. Zach Littell is 30. The Reds traded for him at the deadline. So there are some big names on here. Patrick Corbin, yet again, 36.
The names that you said.
Justin Verlander at 43. Eh?
No. The names that you said,
look at
though,
Joe Flacco Sunday.
I just want to point out, Chris Sale would be my number one guy, except for the fact that the Braves do have a club option on him. But if he becomes a free agent, my goodness, you jump on that.
I think the Braves pick up the club option.
Yes, absolutely.
Here's a name. What about Brandon Woodruff? No. Do you think you could repair him? Do you think his best days are behind him at this point?
I think when you're looking at him, what you're talking about is a guy who can be middle of the staff.
Yeah.
I'm talking about ace. I'm talking about a guy that you throw.
Wait, why not both?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, what I'm focused on right now is getting two top of the rotation guys
to go along with
Cade Horton and everything else that you have.
Yeah.
If Matthew Boyd is your fifth starter, how good do you feel about this team?
Don't we feel
if Matthew
like
Boyd is the fifth starter?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't we feel like, though, that
an all-star is your fifth starter?
Yes.
Do the Cubs have three top-notch starters right now or not? Like, A level or B level? When you talk about Justin Steele, Cade Horton, and Matt Boyd, do any of those guys get a B or are those all A's?
Two and a push. They got two and a push.
We got to see what happens with Matthew Boyd after throwing so many innings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's two and a push. I think Cade Horton, Justin Steele, yes. The push, if this was a spades hand and you're asking me how many aces do I have, I can get you two books and a push, and Matthew Boyd is the push.
Because of the end of the season?
Because
you lost faith
in
him?
Because he just threw the most innings he's thrown in, you know, 5 years,
six years.
So
you're worried that there's going to be an effect going into next year because of
I don't want to depend on that guy at the top of my rotation or near the top of my rotation.
I feel like you're saying that, though, just because of the struggles at the end of the season.
No. I'm saying what I saw as the season went on and how he kind of just slowed down. He was definitely an ace the first half of the season, but then he just slowed down, not just because the very end of the season, everything past the All-Star break.
Can I offer a thought? I do think that the amount of innings did wear on Matthew Boyd, and you saw it happen real time. Not necessarily in velocity, but in fastball command. So knowing that, and knowing that that was the most of the biggest load inning-wise that he had seen, especially given that he's in his mid-30s, you want to at least have somebody else to help out. So there could be a pretty potential B grade there. This segment is sponsored by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, discussing the breaking news this morning that Shota Imanaga is set to become a free agent. This is also a major focal point for the Cubs because this is going to help define the direction that we're going to see them take in free agency. You better come correct. If you really want to do this, you know, Jed talked about also his budget in that season ending press conference. He talked about how he needed to know what he had. I didn't think that was window dressing. I thought that that was a guy who had playoff revenue that he could potentially spend and needed to know how much. So, okay, you are making statements here when you decide to choose this path. What is going to be the next step in order to tell the fans that finishing and taking the NLDS to game five wasn't enough for you and your team?
I think the team's hitting profile has to change. In addition to adding an ace, I think they need better hitting. And I think the place you can do that easily is third base. I'm not knocking Matt Shaw. I'm not saying he can't be helpful to this team going forward. But with a guy like Bo Bichette out there as a free agent, if you could pay him, and now maybe Toronto says we're not going to lose him, we're going to beat everybody's offer. But if you can get him and get him to play third base, I like that idea.
You're really building a profile, too, with your hitters. If you think about Nico Horner over there.
They need more Nico Horner style in the way this ballpark plays. Not even this ballpark. In the way baseball is played in 2025. You got to have guys who can hit and get on base, and it's not just strikeouts and home runs.
Right.
There are way too many strikeouts and home runs deciding what happened with the Cubs.
And they're not
playoffs.
As susceptible either to the lengthy slumps that so many batters went through for the Cubs last year. Like, think about, I mean, we know about what PCA went through. Ian Happ, quite frankly, like, went away a lot, it felt like, and was right on time sometimes. But, like, can you continue to deal with that inconsistency? I think the guy that I'm most looking forward to seeing, like, if it continues to blossom, is Seiya Suzuki. And I know that he had his own issues.
He had a long slump.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. Like the profile of Cubs batters this year, except for maybe Michael Bush. Did Bush ever go through a painful...
He went through a mini slump. It wasn't like a month-long slump. Like, I'll give you this example. Nico Horner, he never hit below 284, I believe, in any given month. You need guys like that. Multiples.
Michael Bush wasn't allowed to hit versus lefty starting pitchers.
That's true. That's early on, and I still think that was the right way to do it. Like, ramp it up.
I definitely disagree.
Ramp it up,
but like, that's not how you're talking about a starting first baseman on a real contending playoff
team. And they're starting to allow him to hit lefties. You know what I mean? Like, that was...
You can have trading wheels for one, but you can't have trading wheels for nine.
But it was what Craig Counsell thought was best for the team, especially in the first half of the year. Let's not just willy-nilly throw this guy in against lefties every time, which is pretty damn common for lefties in Major League Baseball.
Michael Bush never had a month in which he OPS'd under 700. So I guess we could say he didn't really slump either.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's good. The point is, again, when you have to have all these qualifiers to your starters, whether it's your starting pitchers like we saw in the playoffs or your starting first baseman, where in Major League Baseball, you have an expected need for consistent offense there because you're sure not getting it out of second base right now. Second half was a little bit better. Yes, he deserves credit for that. But the point is, you have too many holes when you talk about the games of your starters. You know, when you have to talk about the holes in people's games and how to work around them. Do you expect that with any team? Yes. But when you have a lot of them, that means that you don't have a complete baseball team. So this, to me, is a direction and setter, because you've decided that this hole in his game did not work for your team.
Whose
in
hole
this
in
way.
Whose game? Who are we talking about?
Shohei Minaga right now.
Okay. Oh, we're talking about Shohei.
But I'm
now.
Saying
okay.
When it comes to the hitters, you also have holes in their games, as we've discussed.
Right, but
if the
are
manager
the holes...
didn't have confidence in first base to be able to start versus lefties, that was an issue.
Okay, so then do you think they should get rid of Michael Bush? Is
no,
that what you're saying?
I'm saying
upgrade
like
him? Because
you're trying to upgrade at certain positions.
Yeah.
They're doing that with this, for example, with the starter.
Yes, well, who do you think position player-wise they should upgrade?
Well, here's the issue. The person who's setting the free agent market was typically playing right field for you. So you have to figure that out first before you assess everything
Old
else.
Kyle Tucker.
But to be clear, you said second base. That's why I was confused.
Yeah. Nico Horner.
Do you have a problem with Nico Horner?
No,
something?
I was referring to first base.
No, you did say second base.
Okay, you said second
base.
That's why we were confused. Okay.
This is Rahimi. I probably had a voice in my head.
What about thanks?
Sometimes we get told to go to break at certain times.
Thanks is fine.
Apologies.
I've told you this. He got the money that Mark Burley could have gotten.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. When we have breaking news, it's brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. As we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. You can text and call, which you've been doing, 312-644-6767. And we're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Coming up next, it's also NFL trade deadline day. One of those newsy days. So let's talk about what the Bears might need now that some major news was released yesterday. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
How do you weigh the pressing needs versus protecting those future assets that you need to build something long-term here?
You know, Ryan and I have a constant dialogue on players that might be available. You know, we talk nonstop about this, and we've been doing it for a while now. And so he's doing, like I said, all of his due diligence and making sure we look at everyone that could be available and that could help this football team in the here and the now. It is a balancing act. It's one that I think we have a really good process and a lot of communication on.
That's Ben Johnson. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And the NFL trade deadline is this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern. Remember that time when we all talked about how perhaps the Bears would trade for a running back at the deadline? Then we got the news that Dio Odengbo has an Achilles and his season is over. What was your favorite part about the Dio Odengbo season? And did you put the Ziggy on Dio Odengbo?
Tell me what that means first, because you said that in the chat, and I was like, what do you mean, Ziggy?
The Ziggy is a term that was used on the afternoon show, Spiegel and Parkins, not to be confused with Parkins and Spiegel.
Different show.
And the idea was that when you talked about somebody quite a bit, that that bad things would happen. It was almost like an oho, if you will.
No, I did not put the Ziggy on him because Dio is going to be talked about one way or another because of the contract that he signed. It was either going to be he's really, really doing well, great signing, or he's not doing a whole lot. Bad signing. Right now, guess where we are?
Doesn't look like a particularly good signing. 3 years, 48 mildo.
Torn the Achilles and out for the season. And let's face it, it's not exactly like you're that similar to Justin Steele. You're talking about a whole 12-month recovery for some people.
No doubt about it. And I do remember the first day that Dio Odengbo was introduced in the Bears Theater, or their little auditorium that they have where they do all the big deal stuff.
Big stuff.
They roll them out. All the townspeople are there. Ryan Poles is up there. Everything is happy. And I had to go asking, why would you bring in a guy, and I didn't say it necessarily like this, but just paraphrasing myself even, bring in a guy whose the sack numbers are just not there for him. I think what was his top in Indianapolis, 7 or 8 sacks, I think, and the rest were 5 or below. And I'm even being generous, I think, in the numbers that I'm giving.
The pressures were high.
The pressures were high. I was told to watch the tape, see all the things that he does along that line. And I get it. Like, and I was still, to be honest with you, I was still excited about what Dio Odengbo could be. I hadn't given up on the guy, but if we're being real about what he has done so far, he's flashed in maybe 2 games. And I might be being generous there, because the Minnesota game gave us hope what he could do, and I know he's made a couple of plays since, but I am not seeing it when I look at the film and where he's lining up and the different things that he does and how he affects
the defensive line. So 17 sacks in 59 games is not what you would call highly productive?
That is not highly productive.
That's what he's done over the last 4 years, including this year.
He has 1 sack here and 4 quarterback hits in 8 games. So if you're doing if he's out for the season and you're doing the math with the sack per dollar, of the contract. That was a 48 divided by 3.
At 16.
21 tackles.
So that is a $16 million sack.
And you don't have to do that. You can, you know, you can just do it through the 8 games. It's still not good enough because, for instance, the quarterback hits the last 2 seasons in which he played 17 games each was 17 each of those seasons. Here, he's got half as many quarterback hits as games played. That's a drop off.
So let's do this math.
Okay, I'll do it.
Because this is where the trade deadline, similar to us talking about Jed Hoyer and having to wheel and deal, if you
wheel.
Will. Wheat thins. So Dio's at 3 million, 3 years, 48 million.
Uh-huh.
Montez Sweat's at 4 years, 98 million.
Oof.
Grady Jarrett's 3 years, 43.5.
What's up, GJ?
And you're now having to trade for another defensive lineman.
Well, are you actually trading for another defensive lineman?
I mean, seemed to be the indication that if they were to go after somebody, that would be the need.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Trey Hendrickson won't come cheap.
No.
Kayvon Thibodeau, ring a bell?
Is Jalen Phillips available? Oh, wait a minute. No.
No, you know who got him.
Yeah, Philly, of course.
They get everybody.
Philly, I
guess the question, let's start with this. Do we believe that defensive line is now a bigger need than secondary?
Jeffrey Simmons?
I would say yes, but I want to make sure we're all in agreement on this.
Here's the hard part is, how long do you think Kyler Gordon's going to be out?
It's a fair question.
Because if you think it's even the slightest bit over 4 weeks, and you really think that you could be a playoff team.
Wow. Projecting him into the future, too, while we're at it.
While we're at it, in terms of the games he misses, right?
I mean, like, he's become... I think I told you guys this comp. I think it was off the air, but he's kind of like in that Mike Brown category, the former Bears safety.
Great when he's on the field.
Great when he's on the field. The best leader. The best, like, all the things Mike Brown had on that very talented defense, but he wasn't on the field enough, and that's what I feel about. Like, Kyler, not as good of a player. Like, if you just look at them, like, neutrally, probably not as good of a player as Mike Brown, but he's turning into that good of a player.
Well, the other thing is, how banged up is Tyrique Stevenson? Because we know he's not at full strength.
That was not a good showing on Sunday. Well, but here's my bigger concern. Please don't do the thing that other Bears before you have done this season, where you come back for a game or two, and then you got to be injured again.
Yeah, get all the way healthy. At this point, Dennis Allen, I know, I can only imagine the amount of stress he feels dealing with the shortage of players that he thought he would have. He has not had his full complement of players, not for one moment this season, with the Jalen Johnson at the beginning of the year. And even when he came back, I think TJ Edwards was down at that time.
TJ was down.
And so it's the understanding that this is a brutal, violent, not a contact sport, but a collision sport. And nothing is promised to you, not even for next week, but just like to get through the week. Because we've seen guys go to the injury report and be like, oh, what happened to him? He's not even playing. Oh, he's on IR now.
The only thing that I can confidently say is, based on, and yes, we know that the Bengals defense isn't great, based on at least what we've seen out of Kyle Manungai, I don't feel like the pressing need for trading for a running back is as concerning.
No, I wouldn't even look at running back. I would not look at giving up draft assets for running back, because I was told, one, the running back's room is fine. And I believe that.
Since he said that, all they've done
is just run the football.
Yes,
so
one of the top running teams in the league now.
And number two.
Thank God.
Number two in the league.
That is something we need to, well, we're taking the moment right now.
Yeah.
Hell of a job by Ben Johnson to be straight with us on what needed to happen, telling us that the running backs weren't the issue. Some of us looked at him like, what? But he got that right, and he got it better, and he even told us that he was spending more time with the running backs than with the quarterback at that time, or in the running back's room. So good on Ben Johnson for that.
I also think that defensive line, as we talk about the trade deadline here on Raheemy Harrison Grody, and what do you want? Be sure to, you know, text us, call us.
Tell us what you want, what you really, really want.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure out what it's gone from what do you want, almost like a luxury item, to, man, I'm going to the store. Do you need anything? Because now they need stuff.
Well, we also just don't know the full extent of, like, Dominique Robinson's health either. Yeah, that's a big piece of this when you're considering the fact that the Bears are already 10th in the NFL in money devoted to the defensive line. That's what makes this really difficult. You are painting yourself into a contractual corner with the decisions you've made already. Already! How much more money can you take on for a single position group?
It's a high ankle sprain for Dominique Robinson, which does make it a little bit scary. However, Ben Johnson did bring up Dom Rob yesterday without necessarily being prompted. I think he was talking about the edge rushers, and he did, you know, sounds optimistic that he could be back. So, let's look at what they have and what they could get. You have Dominique Robinson, Austin Booker, who made a play, and I think we all think that he still needs more developing, and you don't say, based on one sack this year, that he is going to be a guy
He's a great depth piece.
That's what it feels like
That seems to be the standard for the Bears, though.
Right.
So are you okay with that?
When you say standard, you're saying his play is the standard for the Bears?
No, I'm saying think about the numbers that Dio Odengbo commanded contractually, and he has one sack this season. So give that some consideration here. How much are you losing by keeping your own guys out there?
I'm glad Grady Jarrett's healthy.
I mean, there's not a lot of options. I mean,
that's what
Daniel,
I'm saying.
Daniel Hardy, do you go really outside of the box and say, all right, Daniel, we're going to put you in a position to succeed. Let's go get it, Danny.
You had such a good weekend on special teams.
Oh God,
we're just going to...
This is a bad week to bring up Daniel Hardy as a possibility
also,
as a defensive end.
To whoever said cut Daniel Hardy on our text line yesterday, we are letting you call us, by the way. We'll do calls the next segment about the NFL trade deadline. And I don't know, throw in some show to thoughts in there if you want. 312-644-6767. I will say this. I am not in any mood to cut Daniel Hardy. He's been too consistent for too long. Was that a mistake? Yes. But is it indicative of what I think is a larger problem? Yes.
Yeah,
you'll cut his coach, though, won't you?
He's their best.
Uber pool from Cincinnati.
Daniel Hardy is probably the Bears' best special teams player who made a mistake this past week. So not cuttable, not demotable.
But he wasn't one of one. He sure wasn't one of one.
Oh, absolutely. The whole collection of players.
Gotta shed those
Who do you
blocks.
Blame for that? Yeah.
I like the 5-5-1 suggestion. Get a mid pass rusher just to help and a mid edge corner to help the secondary. And wait for the guys back, the IL guys back. Robinson, Stevenson, Shamar Turner, Kyler Gordon will be okay. It sounds like a great plan. It's just I think a lot of the league is also kind of hoping for the same plan.
Where is Yannick Ngakoue?
Is
Ngakoue still playing? Because there's your mid. The Bears did that once.
Also, how's the sales pitch go from Ryan Poles? Hey, you're mid. Are you available? Probably because you're mid, you are. Would you like to fill some space for us?
312 says, is Hendrickson worth a first? Is he really hurt? I start to question how hurt he is, because would you willingly be associated with that defense if you didn't have to be? If you had something nagging you and you're like, you know what?
Especially when you're still trying to get paid, too.
Look, trade deadline's next week. I'm going to go ahead and preserve my health.
If there's one thing I have learned, and I think Mark Grody, you feel this, and Marshall, you've probably covered some teams. It's interesting how many business injury decisions are made on bad teams as opposed to teams that have a shot at the playoffs.
Every time. Every single time. I'm not shocked by any of it. I think 3 o'clock is going to be... I expect trades to be made between now and then, so I just wonder if the Bears are going to be in or if they're going to see, I don't know, other teams in the NFC North adding things that they need.
Well, funny you should say that, because this was sent in to us by one Bob Tree, Robbie Triano. This is some breaking news. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. The Raiders are trading wide receiver Jacoby Myers to the Jacksonville Jaguars in exchange for 4th and 6th round picks. That is from Adam Schefter. Multiple teams, including the Steelers and Jaguars, had shown interest in Myers, who is scheduled to become a free agent after his contract expires this season. So Jacksonville's told you what they are trying to do this year.
It's crazy.
Would like to be in the hunt.
I'm wondering what happened to Brian Thomas Jr. Because apparently I think that's an indictment on his lack of play compared to his rookie season.
Let's face it, new head coaches want different personnel. And that's why this is such an interesting trade deadline. I think you're going to learn some truths about how Ben Johnson felt about players if the Bears do make any moves.
Yeah. DJ and a second to the Raiders for Max with 2 X's.
You ain't getting Max with a second round pick.
No, that's a texter. Sorry, I should give
full credit.
Do you know how I feel about this? You've got to kind of get those out of your system before you kind of suss through other options. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason that we are asking you this is Your GM hat needs to be on. You just heard Jed Hoyer make a decision on Shota Imanaga. The NFL trade deadline is today. So what do you think the Bears should do? And frankly, I think if you have a Shota thought, we should mix in those calls too. Kind of the same idea. So 312-644-6767. We'll keep talking about the Bears ahead of this trade deadline. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 This.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Score.
Raheemi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What about Trey Hendrickson? I know that originally they said no, but is that changing?
So they did say no originally. And then last couple days, a bunch of GMs said, hey, you better check this out because now they're saying yes to us. Mm. Right. And, you know, whether or not they can get what they're looking for, I don't know about that. But it seemed like a hard no about a week or so ago. And now it's not.
That was Jay Glazer on Fox. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. The NFL trade deadline is today. So we're taking your calls, 312-644-6767. What do you think the Bears should do? We've gotten a lot of entertaining trade proposals on the text line, as you can imagine. Like 551, let's go Van Ginkel for DJ Moore in an early third day pick. I don't think the Vikings are going to do that, especially in the division. Especially when they just beat the Lions.
Especially because they might not suck after all.
But you know what? Dare to dream. You know, if you want to get it out there, I'm not going to stop you.
Like this one, Roma Dunze for Max Crosby. Straight up, DJ can actually make tough catches. 7-7-3. I mean, that's not insanity, but it's probably not something that the Max Crosby end of this would be interested in doing.
And he'd be traded to his hometown team in this bizarre scenario.
Oh, yes.
Which his family may be happy about. If you've seen his dad's social media.
I would be very careful tweeting or texting or doing anything about Roma Dunze without fear of his father chiming in. I would be very careful these days.
What was that tweet? He just went through the litany of basically the whether they were good passes or bad passes to Roma Dunze.
Somebody posted on Twitter, woke up and James Dunze still tweeting. Hey, I'm never going to be mad at parents for speaking up for their kids. You know, I'm not going to do it. Like, I understand what they're doing. And you know what? They can be fans just like we can, and they can be fans of their kids who are in the league. But
Carl and James, man.
Who leads the Bears in targets again this year?
That'd be Rome.
Who leads them in receptions?
Mile.
Who leads them in receptions?
We have some news there, by the way. He has removed the pinned tweet.
Oh, he has. Did he remove it or just unpin it? That's the question.
Yeah, he unpinned it, right?
Right.
So, and he did also quote the, he retweeted a Bears Nation post saying, "Surely you can't be serious. And don't call me Shirley." And then he quoted it, "I am serious and don't call me Shirley."
Oh, classic. I love this guy.
Classic dad joke.
I love him.
This refers
Mr.
back
Odunze.
To, if you're curious, by the way, this refers back to James yesterday tweeting, "Roma Dunze, targets 59, catchable targets 37, receptions 31, receptions for first downs 27, that's 87% in this tweet, drops 3, 8.3%, touchdowns 5, yards 473, and then in all caps, stats over narratives. I don't blame him for fighting for his son.
Is Twitter the right place to go to air out your grievances? That's
like
my
it.
Question.
I like it.
Are you
can...
asking that question on the midday
no.
show on The Score?
Oh man!
I put that silence there
so
for a reason.
So here's the thing. He took the pin off the tweet, but the tweet is still there. And what it was it was the target.
What happened was...
What had happened was...
It was a drop pin.
This guy named Rick He dropped the pin, and he said on top of it, he quote tweets it with a pin, and he says, can the Bears trade Roma Dunze to a team that will actually throw to him? And then he took that tweet and pinned it as his, the first thing you see on his profile is a tweet saying, can the Bears trade Roma Dunze to a team that will actually throw to him? And that's why I was like, how many targets does he have? How many receptions? How many touchdowns? How many first downs does he have?
Yeah, and he did some of this last year too, and I remember talking to Rome about it, and he just kind of laughed it off. Like, and I remember it was pretty biting though, but that there was a lot of biting tweets made about the organization last year. I think it was something about Eberflus.
And guess
shocker.
What?
There's
and guess
just,
what?
Yeah,
we
listening.
Agreed with him.
We
yeah.
agreed with him.
I'm listening to everybody, frankly.
Yeah.
Like I take everybody's data as data points.
Oh, 100%.
He's closer to the team than I am.
Look, here's the thing. James is his name? Mr.
Yes.
Odunze?
Yes.
Mr. Odunze. I'm respectful.
Odunze.
I call him
Mr.
Respect. Yeah, I'm not like the kids today who would call him Mr.
But
James.
But he's like our age, probably.
Yeah,
wait,
probably.
Mr.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah, Mr. James. You know how the kids do that these
that.
Days?
Yeah.
See, I prefer the...
Didn't parents tell you that as a kid?
No.
Don't call me that. Call me Miss whatever.
Mr. But and their last name. You don't call them by their first name.
I'm not saying a parent would tell me, I don't want you to call me Mrs. Barker or whatever. Call me Miss and then whatever the first name was.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing.
That
Ms.
was a
Sally.
Thing. In the South. Maybe it's a Southern
okay.
thing.
Yeah, the Miz part. Yeah, yeah.
No, because my parents
still
were
a
like,
title.
My yeah. parents were like, you cannot address an adult when I was a kid. You cannot address an adult without putting a Mr., a Miss., a Mrs., a doctor,
yeah.
whatever they are.
Yes, that's
give them
respect.
A title.
That is,
yes.
I agree with that.
And in response, the friend's
is,
parent would be
but,
like, you can't call me
but
that.
But here's
call
the thing. Mr. Odunze will, while you look at this and you say, well, it doesn't really make sense what you're saying. He's our friend, though, as things go sideways this year, and he wants to really bring out some of whatever is going on, the realness, just the way Carl did. And we know Carl Williams
Mr. Carl.
Took it, Mr. Williams took it a little too far, maybe, in what he did. But at the end, like Bears fans, the parents are your friends because they will try, even if they're wrong, they will needle the organization when they feel it's necessary.
I appreciate the authenticity at the
That's
end of the day.
That's what I'm saying.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I also think it's hilarious.
It is hilarious, and you laid it out perfectly. Like, Roma, it's probably a little closer now in terms of targets. I mean, he was up by, like, 18
he
on the next guy.
He only got three on Sunday, and I think that's why Rome's
of
dad
course.
Went to the old Twitter
oh,
machine.
Of course. Of course. Out of all of that, it was one of the most bizarre things that he had zero catches in the game. That gets to Mr. Odunze, and he's like, oh, I don't want to hear this.
You know, I ask the question, are wide receivers born, are they made, or both? And sometimes it's both, and sometimes they are born, and you know what? The mentality got you to the NFL. I can't ever hate on, like, that's kind of what got you there, you know?
No, you're right. That's a great thought exercise. Like, are they born, are they made, or is it a hybrid? I think it's a hybrid, but man.
I don't hate on parents for speaking up for their kids in these ways. They're no, first of all, they're way closer to the team than we are, and they're no different than any other fan who wants their person to do well.
Their like, person.
Yeah, you
yes.
know,
yeah.
They're people.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at 708 that says, at least get a burner account a la Kevin Durant. And then everybody wants Max Crosby. Yes, I do too. And you know what? While we're at it, Ash and Jenty, let's just take all the Raiders. Let's pillage the Raiders.
Let me give you one. Would you give up Montez Sweat and a first rounder for Max Crosby?
So... If you had said like Montez Sweat and a third rounder, knowing that the third round is not a good round
first
for the Bears,
round. Did
I would have been like,
round?
Yes.
I said first round.
Yeah.
But the problem is the Bears still do okay in drafting in the first round.
That's so, like third round.
So that becomes
okay.
like super draft capital.
Would you give it up?
Yeah, probably.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, because you know why? It's because of the contract too. Yeah.
Because you're getting rid of the Montez Sweat contract. You are losing a first-round pick.
How old is Crosby? Is he 30 yet?
Max.
I don't think he's 30. I think he's
28, 29.
Let's see.
Double X.
He is 28.
28, okay. Yeah. I would definitely do that.
He was born in 1997.
Oh, he would be like so popular here. I mean, just like that kind of energy on the field and like the production that he has, the answer is yes.
And he doesn't stop. Unlimited motor.
Unlimited. So sweaty in a first rounder.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
It was shades of a discussion for Khalil Mack for me. By the way, it is Blackhawks and Bulls season on Chicago Sports Network. Visit subscribe.chsn.com to sign up for your 7-day free trial of their all access plan. over 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. Coming up next, wasn't a great day for the Bears on special teams, and we have just the man to discuss with about it. It is Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, part of the Bears, of course, pre- and post-game festivities on Sunday for 670 The Score. So we'll talk to Patrick Manley in our weekly conversation next on Raheemy Harrison Grody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.